It's no maybe about it. This has been done. Who has blessed us with all spiritual, that word spiritual, that means supernatural. It means of the spirit realm or the heavenlies or an extension thereof. And not just any kind of supernatural, divinely supernatural blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Heavenly places is another term for in the spirit realm, in the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. Blessings are in Christ. So in him, in Christ, it says, these blessings are a reality in Christ. And if you are in Christ, then all of these are a reality to you. And you can partake of them. Some people say, well, if it's God's will, his will has already been released. He died. So it is his will for you to have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Am I wrong? If I'm wrong, then this is wrong. And I'll tell you something, this will never be wrong. The word of God will stand forever. If you're in Christ, then these supernatural, divinely supernatural blessings are yours. And they have been given to you because your official title, the moment you were born again, you were joint heir with Christ. Amen. You are not a sub-heir. You are a joint heir. Equal. That puts you in a very, very good position. But it also puts Jesus in a very good position too. Did you know that he can't do anything in your life without your permission because you're a joint heir? You can't enjoy any of these blessings unless you say so. Because everything he has is yours, but he needs your cooperation. This is why he doesn't force anything on you. You have to come and receive it. And the only condition is that you believe. I'll get to that. Here it is. Let's look at verse 4. These are yours in heavenly places in Christ, right? According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Too many Christians are trying to be holy and blameless. You don't have to really work at it. You just have to love people. And you have to love God, because the whole law, it's Galatians 5:14, the whole law is fulfilled in this one word, even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You want to be holy? Love your neighbor. So, well, you don't know my neighbor. I don't have to. God knew who he was before he was even your neighbor. And he put you there to love that neighbor. And if he called you to do something, then he has already equipped you to be able to do it. So get rid of your attitude, submit it to God, and love him. And you know what? All of these blessings will overtake you. Oh, hallelujah. Do I have to explain that more? I mean, that should have been a much bigger reaction than that. Without blame before him in love, having predestinated us. Now, predestination, I don't have 2 hours to go into this. God doesn't pick some to be saved and some not to be saved. What kind of a God would that be? Oh, yeah, I created you to go to hell. Are you kidding me? Everybody's predestinated for heaven. But he doesn't, it's their choice whether they choose it or not. That's predestination. Everybody was designed to go to heaven. Now, if that disagrees with your theology, can your theology and just go with the word, and you can't go wrong. All right? The Bible is given to us, all scripture is given to us for correction. and for instruction in righteousness. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6. To the praise of his glory, of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. This word made us, except you can't make yourself. He made. Did my mic just go?
Yeah, but it's back in.
Okay. Thank you. This word made is the word karitoa, kari, and it's from the word charis, which means grace, unmerited favor. It means that you were given a quality or an empowerment that has made you acceptable with God, and that's how God identifies with you, according to a quality or an empowerment that he has gifted to you through his grace. That's what it means. That's how he made you accepted, and now that's how he knows you. In other words, you found where you belong. You were made accepted in the beloved. He's saying, welcome to the family of God. Welcome that you've come in from the cold into the warmth of the heart of the greatest love that has ever been demonstrated in the history of the universe. Hallelujah. And it belongs to you. He's your father. He's your God. He's your dad. He's your dada. He's your daddy. That's what Abba means. Really, it's an affectionate term of daddy. He has made you accepted in the book. Verse 7 says, in whom we have. That sounds like something's already been done, right? We have redemption through his blood. What's redemption? That means to buy something back. God had to buy back a family from the fallen race, which was governed by the God of this world. Oh, aren't you glad Jesus came into this world, defeated the devil on his own turf? He did so many things just by doing what he did. Praise God. One thing you're going to have to settle in your heart. Jesus was a man, but he was God manifest in the flesh. He was 100% God, but he was 100% man. How do you do that? I don't know. To God, yeah, it's a piece of cake. But what that means is that he is just as much God as the Father. When he walked in the earth, he was just as much God as the Father was. But he was also as human as you. That doesn't mean he was human like sin. No, he came in the form of sinful flesh. But he was just like you in the fact that he was spirit, soul, and body. And he forfeited everything that he had a right to as the Son of God and performed as a man, made himself a servant, humbled himself to the will of God, and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Not for himself, for you. Now, if that isn't love, we did a whole series on that. If God isn't love, if God was not love, think, oh boy. In whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The word riches is the word plutos. And if you look up the word, which I did for you, it's a special kind, it's very special kind of bestowment wherein is a fullness that needs no refills or enhancements. This is a pen of a ready writer that never runs out of ink. Whoa, glory to God. Ha! You can shout about these things. See, when you study these things and you look at the original meanings of these words, I'm telling you, it's like popcorn is it's like the most beautiful blossoms are just bursting out. But that's really the love of God that's blossoming in your heart. Complete. Verse 8. Wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. That word prudence means mentally exercised in insight. You know, there was a doctor, a dentist by the name of Wisdom. And he married a lady named Prudence. He says, I, Wisdom, dwell with Prudence in Proverbs. Thought you might enjoy that. Has nothing to do with the message here. But. Verse 9 says, having made known to us the mystery of his will. Oh, this will put an end to all your prayers that say, if it be thy will. There was only one prayer ever prayed, if it be thy will. You can't nail that to every other kind of prayer. What Jesus was praying is, if I don't have the strength here, get me to that cross. Nevertheless, let your will be done. That's what he was praying. I don't understand how he had the strength to get there and to carry that cross after the beatings and the scourgings and the whipping and the everything that they put him through. I don't know how he had the strength. That was the Father. That wasn't just the Holy Spirit. That was the Father and the Holy Spirit getting him there. So he has abounded us, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Does that sound like something's already been done? This is all leading up to where he is praying that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding, so that you can see these truths as if you're seeing these trees or anything else that you see. You know with a seeing. Having made the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself. Does this hurt you as much as it hurts me to listen to me? Thank you. Okay. The mystery of his will, the secret of his will. This is what he shares with his beloved. You are his beloved. These are things you're going to have to accept and settle in your mind. You are his beloved. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. You see, a lot of the body of Christ is already in heaven, and a lot of us are still here on the earth, but we're one body. One time, we'll all be together. That's the rapture. In this word dispensation, that's another one that has been mistranslated and misused. Like sovereignty, they add definitions to that too. I don't have time to go into that with this. Maybe if I was in another voice, I would. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together all things in one, both which are in heaven and earth, even in him, in whom, here it is, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Does that sound like something we're going to get when we get to heaven? Well, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance. Does that sound like something already been done? Yes. You see, it's only in the last 75 or 80 years that we have really been talking, that the body of Christ as a whole has been talking about the fact that we have an inheritance, that we don't have to die to obtain, to get anything in that inheritance. Oh, there's a lot more after this. See, in here, an inheritance. Let's continue here in verse 11. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom, verse 13, you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That seal of the Holy Spirit, that's the down payment. He is the earnest or the down payment of everything else that God gave you in that covenant. Everything that is in that will that's listed in the New Testament, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in that will, the Holy Spirit, once you believe that, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and he's the one who makes all these things a reality in your life. He is the down payment. The earnest. The earnest. Now, if, in the Bible, if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. Now, that doesn't mean he makes us immortal. He doesn't give you an immortal body. Right? He will quicken you and strengthen you and make you functionable until such a time as you choose to go to heaven. Did you hear what I just said? Paul said that it's his decision whether he leaves or stays. He says, you know, it's needful for you that I stay, but I want to go. Whose choice was it for Paul to go to heaven? It was Paul's. He decided when he was going to go. Otherwise, if he didn't, God would have got him out there and got him back to Philippi. Oh, we're studying Philippians. And Paul planned on going back there, but he never did. There's so much in the world. You got to get these Bible studies, I'm telling you. They are rich. The Holy Spirit. So, we, when we believed and received Jesus as Savior, by the way, believe in your heart and confess him with your mouth is the only prerequisite for salvation that there is in the Bible. Nothing else. If you add to that, well, you can work hard, but it's not going to do you any good. When we believe and receive Christ, we are receiving all things that God says, we have all divinely supernatural blessings. Say this, I have.
All divine supernatural blessings.
You know, when I was first saved, I went to a church and they said, there's no second blessing. And they were referring to the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All. Number two, we've been adopted as his very own children. Say this, I'm adopted. I'm his very own child. I have a legal document that says so. I have total acceptance with God. I have redemption from the fallen human race. I have the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that wonderful? In whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins through his blood. You have, you know, people say, well, you don't know what I've done. No, you don't know the power of that blood. Really, there is no sin that he didn't pay for. There are, you know, there's a record, there's books, and there's the Lamb's Book of Life. And if people's names aren't found there, then they're listed in the book of deeds. And those deeds go from the most benign type of sins to the absolutely incredibly worst Hitler-Stalin type of sins. Jesus stayed in hell until he paid for every single one of them. Did you know that that Adolf Hitler, as evil and as corrupt and as undone as he was, thank you, could have turned to the Lord instead of shooting his head, instead of blowing his brains out, if he turned to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe you rose from the dead. I believe in you. I trust you as my Savior. I've sinned. Forgive me. Thank you. He would have, right that second, would have become the righteousness of God in Christ. Every bad deed, everything he had ever done would have been erased by that blood. Why? Because God is fair? No, because the blood speaks of better things than Abel, which is vengeance. It speaks mercy. It speaks grace. So you better be willing to forgive Joe Biden. You better be able to forgive all those doctors who murdered all of those unborn children. You better be ready to forgive all the gutter-ridden, drunk, child-molesting. You gotta forgive them. Because if you don't, your joint heir won't. You have the keys of the kingdom of heaven. It bears a lot of responsibility, but it also bears a lot of reward. Don't look at the world and try to make sense of it. You can't even make sense of that. You can't make sense of God's love. It's just full and it's complete. And there's nothing that can be added to it. There's no refills. It's not needed. You've received all of it. You've received the revelation of the mystery of his will. That's number six. And you have obtained an inheritance. What is an inheritance? It means somebody died and left you something big. 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 And in this case, he who died rose from the dead to make sure you enjoy everything he left you. Yeah. Oh, glory to Jesus. Thank you. I just want to take a minute. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything you've done. We're just so grateful. We are grateful. You know what the Lord just said to me right there? He says, if you're grateful, do something about it. Enjoy it. Enjoy the things I gave you. Walk in them. Walk in those provisions as if they are real, and you will find they will be. Amen. Walk in those things. That's how you tap into it for all those who believe. See, this isn't for everybody. This is just for believers. Somebody said, well, is tongues for everybody? No, just for those who believe. These signs should follow those who believe. Not the pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, anybody who believes. Something big. The Holy Spirit, and this is why it's important to pray in the Spirit, to pray in tongues. Paul said, when I pray, my spirit prays, is because you are exercising your spirit in conjunction, in partnership with the Holy Spirit, who makes all of these things real to you. Paul prayed in tongues more than anybody. He also had more revelation than anybody. If you want insight and understanding of all of these things, the mystery of his will, and make all of these things so in your grip type of real to you, then pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. And you'll see the reality of these things happening. We've been drinking from these pools of ignorance way too long. Amen. We need to drink from the wells of salvation that are down in here. That Jesus said, he who believes in me, I will give him living water, and it will be in him a well of water that he can drink from whenever he wants. That's why he said, if you believe in me, you will never hunger and you will never thirst. It's complete. No refills. No enhancements are needed. Jesus, put this in front of your eyes. Speak it out of your mouth. Keep listening to it. Keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. And faith will come. Because faith comes by hearing and 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 hearing. Amen. All the blessings of God are ours. Holiness is ours, but it's our choice to walk in that by simply loving those who he loves. And in order to love people, you've got to let go of everything.
It's so true.
You really have to let go of everything. Let God judge them. Don't you judge them. There's somebody in here just, there's a big wall to you. I can feel it. And it's a big wall to you, and you're having a hard time with it. You need to give it over to Jesus. Give it over to Jesus and love that person as the lost, undone sinner that they are, because that's who you once were. Doesn't matter if it was the same sin or not. Sin is sin. And if you've broken one, you've broken the whole thing, it says in James chapter 2. All the blessings of God. Listen, don't forfeit anything through offense or judgment or resentment, bitterness, confusion, and let all those things go. All those things don't belong to you. They belong to the world. You're free. I'm going to end by saying this. Most Christians believe that God, that Jesus was successful, that he rose from the dead, that he conquered death, sin, the grave, everything. He conquered all. But they don't believe that they are powerful. They don't believe that they have any power. If the same Spirit, now this word if, is not like, you could translate it as the same thing, since the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. He that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body. You guys here this morning? I mean, that should have lit a whole log of fires under in your heart. Since the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. As long as you are in this earth, as long as you have this body, you have dominion in this earth. And the Holy Spirit will take everything that God reserved for you in that covenant and make it real for you. Amen. You have an inheritance. We're going to go into a lot more through this series. We're going to discover a lot more of the inheritance that's ours, how to obtain it, how to walk in it, and how to really fellowship, not just have a relationship, but fellowship with the Father in those things that he gave you. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that, Lord, that your word will never return without accomplishing what it was sent to do. So we receive the fulfillment of your word in us. We thank you, Lord, that it will not return to you void. And when we return your word back to you, it won't return empty. Lord, it'll work on our behalf, on your behalf, on the kingdom's behalf. And we'll continue to praise you. When that faith becomes sight, when we see you, and we know that the blood now has separated us, washed us from everything that would hold us back from anything that you have given us. We thank you. And thank you for your love. And we know your love will never fail. In Jesus' name. Amen.